Thank you, Jim. It's one of those scripture passages that could probably preach itself, but I still plan on preaching. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. They went on their nightly summer walk. She noticed her husband favoring his left leg. So she asked, "Honey, I notice you limping a bit. Is your leg feeling okay?" It was bothering him and had been for some time. Every time he took a step, there was this annoying pain that shot in his knee, but he had learned to live with it and shrug it off. It might just be I slept on it wrong last night. So he brushes it off. Then he goes to visit his grandchildren and gets down the floor and plays with them, and his daughter notices that he winces when he tries to stand back up. "Dad, are you okay? It looks like it hurt when you got up." And he makes some joke about his age and how as a child he used to run circles around all the dinosaurs in the neighborhood. And his diversion worked. It changed the subject. But it did not change the pain. When we hold in the truth, we can't expect things to get better. If we don't let others know what is going on, we can't expect others to care for us or help us. We can't expect others to read our minds or our body language. So sometimes we just hold it in. What if this truth changes the way this person looks at me? What if my daughter no longer sees the strong father, but someone that needs to be taken care of? What if this truth I hold leads to confrontation and people become upset with me? It is tempting to just hold it in to keep the peace, the status quo, make everyone comfortable, but there is a cost to silence. Woven through Scripture, through Abraham and Sarah, Shifra and Pua, Moses, Aaron, Ruth, David, Isaiah, Amos, Micah, Mary, John the Baptist, all superheroes that came up this past week at VBS. Through all of these figures in Scripture, is a truth. And the truth is a vision about what God longs for God's creation. Some will call it the promised land, while others call it God's shalom, and others the kingdom of God. But what they have in common is a world in which God urges them to live into. A world free of oppression, a world where those on the margins are surrounded by a loving community, a world where people have access to healing, a world where immigrants and refugees have a home, a world where wars cease and communal farming takes its place, a world that shares resources, money, energy, regardless of nationality or race. John Dominic Crossing writes that the kingdom of God is what the world would be if God were directly and immediately in charge. Think about that. What would it be like? This is the religion of Jesus. Making God's kingdom central, making known God's vision through his teaching and through his actions, not just privately, but in the streets, in the town square, in the local synagogue. He professes the kingdom of God is near. and amplifies the pains of those hurting most and advocates for a new way of living. But he finds that the truth makes many uncomfortable, and some are even threatened. Religious leaders don't want to upset anyone. The empire is not really out to share much, especially with those that they have conquered. Jesus meets resistance to the tenets of the kingdom of God, which is grace, inclusion, justice, and well-being. His hometown tries to hurl him off a cliff for preaching about anointing the poor and releasing the captives. And so when Jesus urges his disciples to make known the kingdom of God, to amplify the cries of those hurting in the world, he does so with a warning. And this warning is for us. The kingdom of God is so different from the present kingdom we all live in that it will make us uncomfortable. It will create tension. It will make others upset. And how different is that than what most of us were taught, right? If you are faithful and favored, everything in life will fall into place. And then you start living, right? And you realize, oh, that doesn't seem to add up sometimes. That we're not devoid of pain or suffering, no matter how we treat others. And we might lean on that verse in the Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God makes me lie down in green pastures. God leads me beside still waters. God restores my soul. Many of us were taught that this is when we live right by God. And on the flip side is the valley of the shadow of death, in which we have strayed from God's ways. But what if we looked at this in the light of the challenges of living the kingdom of God? What if they are the same path? What if the path that leads by the flowing stream is also the path that leads us into the valley of the shadow of death, to where one makes God's love known even there, and to where God is still with us and comforts us, just as if we were in the green pasture? Perhaps to love others, to love family, or to love one's own country is to speak hard truths that are uncomfortable for some. It is clear in our scripture passage this morning that some disciples are making known the kingdom of God and speaking truth to power, and they are quickly bullied by others in the community. They are intimidated, threatened, confronted, and not just by random people, but by family members, in which can be the hardest of confrontations. So they remain silent. And with it, the good news of God's kingdom, the seeds of a promised future, God's dream with it. And so Jesus tells his disciples, don't be intimidated. Right? You can hear his encouragement. Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public now. And perhaps those questions we ask ourselves was what the disciples asked. What if this truth changes the way my mother-in-law looks at me? And I say that knowing my mother-in-law is with us this morning. What if my son doesn't look at me the same way? What if my closest friend gets mad at me? But there is a cost to silence. Many of us have heard the quote attributed to German pastor Martin Niemöller during World War II. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. There is a cost to be silent. And Jesus says, go public now. Now. Don't wait. Go public with the kingdom of God now. A simple glance at news headlines, a drive from one side of town to the other, and it's clear that there is more than just knee pain around us. It is clear that there are bodies in pain. While the world watched the search and rescue efforts of the lost submersive vessel around the Titanic, and saddened by the news that all five aboard were killed, there was little to no attention given to the 700 migrants who were feared to have died trying to cross into Greece. How often are death numbers given of migrants and refugees, but nothing of their humanity, their dreams, their family, the things that they have endured for a better life? And so it's easy to exclude refugees when you silence their humanity. It's easy to detain and separate families when their lives are less valued than Americans. It's easy for us to let go of responsibility when we allow that narrative to play and we get to be silent. It's easy to mold others into political pawns, creating a caricature of a person in order to win an election and feel like a superior race. And whether you created the policy or silently continue that policy, it's still happening. And Jesus says, don't be silent. Go public with the kingdom of God. This week, Ohio's House of Representatives passed House Bill 8, which would require teachers to essentially out LGBTQIA students to their parents, taking away the privacy and, in some cases, physical and mental safety of children, all the while making it more challenging for teachers to care for and teach their students. Also passed was House Bill 68, which bans almost all types of gender-affirming care for transgender minors, even if parents and counselors and doctors believe it is in the best interest of that child. Jesus says, do not confuse faith or favor with comfort. Do not equate discipleship with easiness or stress-free. Go public. And so this week, I have two challenges for you. First, I invite you to reflect on a moment or a time when God called you into an uncomfortable situation. A time of tension or confrontation when God's path led you into the shadow of the valley of death so that God's love could be made known. So reflect on a moment or time when God called you into an uncomfortable situation. And second, in what ways could you go public with the kingdom of God with where you are? Is it in the way that you welcome others? Is it the way you invite others to hear the humanity of those who are pushed to the margins? Is it writing a letter to a legislature or even marching in the streets? In what ways could you go public now? Jesus sums up his message to his disciples with this, and it's what I'm going to leave you with. He says, if you don't go all the way with me, through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. You may be more familiar with those who find their lives will lose them. And those who lose their lives because of me will find them. Thanks be to God. Amen.